paper that came out about a month ago with Noel Cialom and Marty Einhorn. Noel Cialom is a PhD student, so they were, you know. And it's also based on a series of other papers related to entanglement area and so on. And since we're in Canada, I'm obliged to give you a choice. In fact, the computer has been trained to choose to feel what your choice is. And I think it will make it in a few seconds. So we'll see what happens. And the subject of the subject of the talk will be alphabetical, so I'll explain about entanglement in space-time. Then I will explain how this is realized in context of the big theory of gravity duality, and we'll give a specific example of the AGS-5 platform. So the questions I want to answer can come under the great title of what does black hole entropy count? I remember, I'll remind you what the entanglement entropy is. Then I will explain how it is related to black hole entropy. This will, the design indicates will contain new material based on the paper that I mentioned. Then I will show you explicitly how to evaluate entanglement entropy in a space-time with the Bathurst and Killing horizons. And I will remind you how does string theory evaluate black hole entropy and relate the, show you how to relate the two. You are welcome to ask questions during the talk. Okay, so the idea is that the reason why we have the thermodynamics in space-time with causal boundaries, not necessarily black holes, but it's also monotical space-times or acceleration in causal boundaries like in real space, etc., is that a part of the quantum state is inaccessible. And if you wanted to use, to say loosely, you could say that the microstate are due to entanglement. So that's the basic idea, and this is what I want to show explicitly in this talk. The properties of such thermodynamics, that is, entanglement thermodynamics, is that it is observer dependent. Sometimes the observer dependent is weaker, sometimes it's stronger, but it is a basic property of this. It leads naturally to area saving, so it's not expensive. And it is UV sensitive, as we will see. These are properties that are very different from thermodynamics that you are used to if you learn in your standard courses. And there is a reason for it. Okay, so for those of you who have been around long enough, in the previous, there was about 10 years ago, there was a surge of interest in these type of ideas, and it has died down. And for those of you who have been in this field long enough, this is telling you what's new. So the one technical, a key technical improvement is that we were able to extend the path integral methods for calculating entanglement entropy to a curved space-time. This was done previously for flat space-time. And that we are able to apply it to, in the context of the field theory gravity duality. So, a brief reminder of entanglements. Here is a state. Say, this is sum of two terms in system, two spaces. So you have space one, space two, and this is an entangled state. Now I can construct a density matrix out of this state just by simply taking this product, and the density matrix is a forward flow matrix with these entries. Each block here represents an element in the two space. So this element is the two keys of the density matrix. Okay? Each one. So this would be the 2-2, this would be the 1-1, this would be 1-2 into 1 elements when I decompose it into the two spaces. Now, since the state is pure, it has zero input. Now what I can do is I can trace over the second Hilbert space degrees of freedom. Means that I have to take the diagonal elements in the space 2. There are two matrices and sum them. So what I get is, what will it do? Doesn't work. What I get is this matrix, right? That's the sum of these two diagonal entries. And if you want to see it pictorially, so here is an observer. There's a system that's composed of a product of the two Hilbert spaces. And now he chooses to trace over the second Hilbert space. And voila, you see that the entropy resulting here is non-zero anymore. It's just trace minus trace for a number. Trace for a with minus trace for a number. There is a minus missing here, which is log of 2. And if there was another observer that decided to trace over the first Hilbert space, you will get the same entropy that can be shown explicitly. It's a general feature of such matrices. Okay. So, intermittence. So now let me move forward. That was integrated in quantum mechanics. In general, the picture that I want to have in mind is a Hilbert space that is a product Hilbert space of two Hilbert spaces that I form in and out. They don't need to be of the same dimensions, but many times I will actually use them and they will be identical, but they don't need to. And in general, the state that I can create is just a general linear combination with coefficients of the product of basis elements. And many times I can consider operators that act in one of the Hilbert spaces. So they are of this form, identity times O or O times identity. And if I look at the row in that's trace over out, as we did before, of the full density matrix, psi psi, in row out, it is a theorem that I can calculate either the quantum expectation value of the operator O(in) or the statistical average of the same operator, and the results are equal. So there's no difference between statistical averages and quantum expectation values in this one. You can choose to do either. I mean, this is the proof. If you want, I could show you. It's a just about a page of very simple matrix manipulation. Enough noise.
This is a property of operators that live in or out.
Yes.
It doesn't work for operators.
If you have operators that have support in more of them, this property has to be modified. There is some remnant of that, and it's this type of operator are very interesting for black hole physics and physics of other elements.
But you're saying that there is a way to rewrite them in terms of density matrices as an exact statement. It will be just more complicated.
Yes. And the evolution of that density matrix. So okay. Now if I want to use this formalism to describe the thermal state, so tiny dependent state in thermal equilibrium, I could do that. I need to impose two more conditions. One is time translation invariance, and one that the Hamiltonians of the acting on the Purkinje spaces be related as such. H is minus H also. In this case, the state becomes the so-called thermal field double state. In quantum information literature, is known, this procedure is known as purification. And here is the state. The energies are equal up to a sign. And as you can see, there is a half here that is different from the usual thermal state. It's necessary. So if I have this pure state, pure entangled state on both Hilbert spaces, I quantum expectation values in this state are equal to thermal averages, thermal statistical averages. Okay. So I could choose either to do thermal statistical averages or take quantum expectation values in this state. This thermal field double construction will play an important role in what I will explain later on. Okay, questions so far? Okay, so now I want to take one more step and explain how this picture of entanglement is realized in space-times with a bifurcating thin horizon. So if you take a metric, a line element, a metric that has this line element, so f of r minus f of r d tau squared plus vr over square over f of r, and this f of r has a zero, a simple zero, at a certain value r equals rs or r0. Okay? So this is the metric that I will be looking at. And in Minkowski's place, the Sitter, Schwarzschild, non-rotating the QZ, all of them have this form. And you can extend the discussion to more general situation. Okay. Now, if I have this, this line element, I could, for the r goes only up to a certain rs, and if I wish to extend it to every coordinate frame, I can do that in general. I can do a coordinate transformation from tau r to xt, and I can explicitly compute the resulting line element h of r, and I can see that h of r doesn't have any zeros in the whole range of x and t, and therefore I've extended, covered now an extended space. So this is the analog of finding the Kruskal coordinates, h for h. And it works in general for every metric that has this. Okay, so if I look at the space-time diagram, the original coordinate covered a wedge of space-time that was, that is this wedge. The new coordinates x and t cover the whole of space. So in Minkowski, for example, this would be Minkowski space and this would be Rindler. And here you can see the odd coordinates in the new coordinates. So there are straight lines, time and straight lines, and are hyperboles. Okay. So now if you want a more pictorial representation, which will be useful for us later on, here is the, I don't think there are these wedges, so this is the same picture that we had before. This is r equal to 0, and this is t equals 0, so it's a special slice. And can you see that? This is the picture of space on this slice. So there are two asymptotic bounds, asymptotic regions here, and there's an Einstein-Rosen bridge there. Now, if I go forward in time, the Einstein-Rosen bridge shrinks, and when it gets to touch the r equals 0 line, it becomes a point, and then this happens. So that's the geometry that is described by this metric. Now, I can now define a quantum state, say the vacuum, on the extended space by choosing, let's say, a set of regional annihilation operators and saying that the vacuum is annihilated by all the annihilation operators. Okay? It's not a unique choice, but I can choose it. So I will be in particular interested in so-called cartomorphic vacuum, which I will explain explicitly how to construct. And what's happening here? And I can construct the wave function of that state by performing a path integral over the fields that I have in my problem. Like so, notice that this is from 0 to infinity. Okay, now I want to find out the relationship between this vacuum state that is defined over the extended space and the state in a wedge, as I did before. So I have an in and out space, and I would like to find out what happens when I trace over the states in the, in this case, it's the out region, so the left region. This would, in terms of geometry, this corresponds to this geometry on the left, and the operation is essentially the tracing over the degree of freedom on the left-hand side. If I wanted to compute the entropy, then again there's a minus missing. I would do, as I did before, this approach. So now, how do I compute the density matrix? Okay, so what I need to compute, let me remind you, I need to compute a trace over the density matrix 0, 0. So I have to take the out diagonal elements and sum over them. So here is the picture of the space-time diagram. The in is the region R larger than Rs here, t equal to 0. And the out is the left region here. So if I evaluate it using a path integral, I have two matrix elements. One is if I use the t coordinate, goes up path integral from 0 to infinity, and another one from minus infinity to 0. Same here, and tracing over the algebraic freedom means that I just eliminate, I think it's the same state here, the same state here. So I just eliminate the what's the state here, and I just glue these two regions together, and I do the path integral like so. Okay, so this is the path integral that I need to do to evaluate the density matrix rho. Now, doing it this way is complicated, and it's in general not possible. So I need to find another way of actually performing the calculation. And the other way is noticing that instead of doing the path integral this way, right? So instead of doing the path integral this way, I could do it as in the left. So I go to essentially measuring time, and I look at the evolution time slice like so. Okay? And the Hadamard-Hopkins vacuum, which is the state that I will be interested in, is the unique invariant under the symmetries, the geometries of the space-time, and regular the horizon. Okay? So this path integral defines the Hadamard-Hopkins vacuum. It's here you can see by the fact that for the Hadamard-Hopkins vacuum is expressed by not having any existence of any operators here at infinity. Okay. So here is the path integral that I need to compute. This is the Lagrangian formalism. And what I notice is that I could do the path integral along slicing along the imaginary tau direction. So I know that this path integral would actually be the path integral generated by a Hamiltonian that generates the time translation in imaginary time. So going back to this slide, this path, I could evaluate the path integral by finding the Hamiltonian that propagates me back along these time slices. Okay. And the result that you get should be mentioned, should be the others, I know that it's cut for some reason, or maybe it's there. So Shanta, I think, was the first to evaluate it generally. And I noticed that if the boundary conditions on these two path integrals are the same, so that defines the state along the path, the actions are equal, that I can check, and the methods are equal, then the two path integrals are equal, and evaluating the path integral using the Hamiltonian, so it's just telling me that rho is e to the minus theta h effective. If I find this Hamiltonian, I know explicitly what the density matrix is. It's e to the minus beta h. Okay. Yes?
So what is beta naught? How do you define
it? Okay, so beta naught, you can see it here, right? When I do this path integral, there is some periodicity which is expressed in h in equals minus h out. This has to be periodic. Okay. And that beta naught is the periodicity that is imposed here. For example, if you had a conical singularity, you wouldn't get a periodicity. So the smoothness forces you to have periodicity, and beta naught is the period. Usually it's normalized to be 2 pi. So now that I know rho, I can compute any averages with this rho. Okay, for example, I can compute the entropy, the temperature. This is the unnormalized periodicity is f prime of at the Schwarzschild measures divided by 4 pi.
I guess my question there, there was another part. How uniquely is there some rescaling that you know, like I
no, it's fixed. It's fixed. Let me go back.
Is the effect of Hamiltonian along this translation scaling
voids? Yes. Yes. Okay. So first of all, so you see here the transformation that you do here is essentially fixing for you the periodicity
okay.
when you go to imaginary time. And the Hamiltonian is fixed because I need it to be the time translation generator on that. Now, if you have rotation or charge, then you need to modify it. Then, in the case of rotation, if you wish, I could explain it in more detail. In case of rotation, you need to use a tilted generator. That's why instead of e to the minus beta h, you get e to the minus beta h plus mu, the charge, or the other. And in the case of charge, the momentum, the Hamiltonian, is the not the minimal Hamiltonian. It's not just in the tau, but has the gate fix with it, and then it needs to enter and modifies the e to the minus beta h to e to the minus beta h plus pq. So this procedure is completely clean. You can just compute it. So at this point, I could even give it as an exercise in a quantum field. This was done by Kabat and Strasser about 10 years ago for flat space, and we extended it to all these surfaces. We have to go through all the. Okay, so here is. So now I can calculate minus trace rho and rho, because I have rho as an operator. And I can calculate it, and Shanta and Fota calculated also. I think Roberto and Paran also did a similar calculation, but this is the place where we do calculation. So you can evaluate it using a heat kernel method, say take a scalar field or a vector field or and actually calculate it. And this is the result. Q, remember, was the a coefficient in the metric controlling the transverse direction, not the tau r. And these are just numerical factors. This is a proper length short distance cutoff that you have to introduce. It's similar to a brick wall, but it's true. I told you it as a brick wall cutoff. And I will hope to discuss this. And there's an integral for the transverse degrees of freedom, so you see an area coming out explicitly. It's just the integral of the transverse degrees of freedom on the horizon. So, so here is the black hole. I'm moving the step forward and has entropy A over 40 Newton, and we've seen how to calculate a entanglement entropy over with it. So I had this space with bifurcated inner horizon. I traced over part of it. I got an entropy like so, supposed to be related or equal to that point, because that reflects using the Gibbs talking. And the question is, how am I related? And the way I want to answer this question is to use string theory to give me games. So what in string theory, what you do is you have two descriptions, one as a space-time or one black hole, and on the other side of the duality you have a field theory description. And the field theory temperature is equal to the temperature of the black hole, and the black hole entropy is calculated by simply calculating the usual thermal field theory entropy and using the fact that both sides are equal. Okay. Now, again, a reminder of how to calculate the, how first the AGS black hole entropy was calculated. Probably most of you will know that, but let me do that anyhow. So, as a mind of its own, so I start with a antecedent space. I use the AGS EFT to tell me that it's a for some reason. So I use the ADS-CFT to tell me that the physics here and the physics here are equivalent. I can now introduce a black hole in the antecedent space, so this is depicted by the wedges, and I can now trace over part of the part of space-time as I did before, and find out that the field theory dual to that is a field theory with a finite temperature, and the temperature are equal. When you calculate the entropy, as I was reminding you before, you find a discrepancy, and the discrepancy is associated to the fact that the entropies are calculated in two different places in parameter space. So we all believe that the results are equal. There's some interpolating function that when you go in the parameter space correctly, you find the correct result. Okay? So again, I would like to relate this type of calculation of black hole entropy to the entanglement entropy calculation that I described before. And so here is my black hole entropy. Here is my entanglement entropy. There is a new feature here which I didn't put in before. The entanglement entropy is proportional to the number of fields that live in your space-time, because each field gives you an area dependent factor, and this hour of the short distance catalog. Now, as we just saw, this is evaluated using the thermal entropy of the field, which we all know how to calculate. And what I'm missing now is, what is the analog of that field theory calculation that is dual to the calculation of the entanglement entropy in the bug. And what I want to do is provide that missing data. So this is a little bit heavy on the logic, but so try to be a little bit more alert than you are now. It's clear, but there's some not so simple logic, and usually calculations people can follow, but somehow logical steps are hard. So try to concentrate. So here is the framework. So I have an extended spacetime with a string theory in it, and I have the dual field theory. Okay? The duality implies that this one should be here and this one should be here. The duality implies that the Hilbert spaces, among other things, that the Hilbert spaces are isomorphic. Now I also have a wedge spacetime with a string theory living on it and a field theory living on it, and the duality implies that the wedge Hilbert spaces are isomorphic. Okay. Another assumption that I will need to use, which is typically the value that everybody believes that is true, is that if my theory here is in the thermal state, say the string theory is in the thermal state, so is the field theory. And that typically follows because time usually doesn't participate in the duality. If you have periodic time on one side, the time is periodic on the other side, and therefore the states are thermal. Okay. And this relationship I use this cross symbol to mean this. Okay. Okay. Now I will need to go to the G string goes to zero and alpha prime goes to zero limit, because that's the only place where I know how the bulk behaves. That's where my considerations, previous considerations on entanglement entropy were valid. So in this limit, the string theory a partition function reduces to the supergravity partition function, and there is some limit in the field theory, say in the ADS-PFT, if n goes to infinity and lambda and mu goes to infinity, and I assume that the duality holds in this limit. So now, what I know in this limit on the bulk is, as I was showing explicitly, that the Hilbert space factorizes into the product of the left wedge times the right wedge. We saw that explicitly using the classic. Okay. Therefore, I know that the dual Hilbert space, field theory Hilbert space, also has a product structure because it's isomorphic to the and I assume that the isomorphism in the duality holds in this limit. This is not special, not special to me, it's everybody assumes. Okay, now we can go. Now we know, as I've shown, that the bulk is in a thermal state. I can write, if I trace over the left wedge, I get the thermal state in the right wedge, and vice versa, if I use the Hartle-Fock interaction. Because the density matrix was e to the minus beta h. Okay? So, and this I denote by this type of operation. I say that if I trace, I get from the extended space partition function the wedge coefficient. Okay, now, on the boundary, I know that my set is thermal, because on the wedge, because I know that in the bulk, the state is thermal, and one of my assumptions was that the dual, if the bulk state is thermal, so is the boundary state. If you remember, it was the periodic time. That was, and again, what was. Now, So I have this picture now, that taking a trace, I can take the trace either in the boundary in the lab, and I get this dynamic point. And I depict, so what do I know now? I know that in this limit, this string goes to zero and alpha prime goes to zero, I have a duality between taking the trace in the bound and taking the trace in the boundary. And therefore, I know that the wedge, the dual wedge density matrix is given in this form. I trace there the dual state. Okay, so I close this diagram with traces. The consequence is that the dual state, which I didn't know, just knew the Hilbert spaces. Now I'm learning about the state that the field theory is in. I know that if I take traces either on left or right on this state, I get the thermal state, and therefore I know that the dual, the state dual to the Hausdorff-Hocking vacuum is a thermal field on the Hilbert space, the product Hilbert space. This is because there is a theorem that says that you should trace over both sides and get the thermal state. In both cases, this state is uniquely up to a phase defined to be a thermal field. Remember, that's the state with the E to the minus beta E over 2. So I've learned the Hausdorff-Hocking vacuum is a thermal field double, and I've learned now that the dual state to it is also a thermal field double. So I've now established a chain of equalities. First, I've established that the entanglement entropy on the gravity side in this limit, the string goes to zero, alpha prime goes to zero, is equal to the entanglement entropy on the field theory side. Then I know that the entanglement entropy on the field theory side is equal to the thermal entropy of a field theory in a thermal state. And then I use the field theory gravity duality, as we were reminded before, to argue that the thermal entropy of the field theory is equal to the black hole. So what I get here is that the entanglement entropy on the gravity side is equal to the black hole. So how do I interpret this stuff? Again, it's valid in this limit. In this limit, I know that the entropy of the field theory is equal to the black hole entropy over 40n. Now, I know that the wedge entanglement entropy is also equal to A over 40n by the chain of equalities that I use. So, my conclusion is that the black hole entropy is due to entanglement. I can interpret it as due to entanglement in the black. And there was previously a debate in the literature whether this the entanglement entropy is a correction, a renormalization, and so on. This is showing that it is the entire black hole. Now, there is a catch. Both entropies diverge in the limit that I was considering. Because this limit implies that the Newton goes to zero, and the entanglement entropy was proportional to an inverse power of a short distance cutoff, and this is proportional one over k epsilon, so both of them diverge. And the idea is to use the field theory to define the quantity in the, when the neutron doesn't vanish. So let's see in the remaining minutes how this picture works explicitly in the internal ADS platform five dimensional six. You can form, you can actually do it for many, many other examples. We didn't do it, we just did it here to verify that it works. So let me remind you what the ADS platform is. As this factor in front of the dt squared and the r squared, b is related to the ratio of the Schwarzschild radius and the ADS radius of character. And the transverse degrees of freedom a coordinates are here. We will not be particularly interested in it. And the Bellows diagram of this ADS black hole is like so. Okay, so what we saw before is that the entire net entropy in the between the two wedges is the entropy of the condenser and summary in the field theory of the thermal state. Now here is the black hole entropy. It has, I've written now explicitly what the Newton 5 is. It's r to the 5 divided by r prime to the 4 g string square. Here is the entanglement entropy. It's proportional to the area, so that's okay. There is a factor of number of fields, because each field contributes to the entanglement entropy, and there is an inverse factor delta to the minus 3 because of the dimensionality of the system scale. And now, the best situation would have been if I could calculate both sides independently and compare them. Now, I can almost do that, but I don't have, at the moment, a unique way of defining the short distance shadow, and hence, I can only get the relationship up to a constant. Okay? To get that constant, I need to work harder, and I don't know how to do it at the moment. This I will discuss some more. Now, so here is the situation. We have a thermal entropy that is well defined, it diverges when the Newton goes to zero, here's the Newton, here's the black hole entropy, and I want to compare the two. So, this is, Amos, my student, likes to call it a hand-waving derivation. I think it's a consistency argument, and I like the hand, so I let it in. And now we can get rid of it. Okay, so here is how the hand-waving derivation goes. Since I'm in the Einstein frame, I wrote my metric in the Einstein frame. My short distance scatter is L flat. Now, the number of fields is actually a non-trivial quantity because the radius of the ADS is much larger than L flat. So the Kaluza-Klein modes also contribute to kernel evaluation. Only very heavy modes do not contribute. So the number of fields that has to go into the entropy calculation is essentially the number of Kaluza-Klein modes that you have, that we have here. Okay? And that's up to factors, numerical factors, r to the 5 divided by delta to the 5. Now, so I can now plug both expressions in and into the improper. This C is this arbitrary constant that I told you we will not be able to calculate. Now I'm plugging in C, R to the 5 over delta to the 5, that's the number of moles, A over delta Q, so I get C, A, R to the 5 over delta to the A. Now, delta to the A is LS to the A, T string square, and I remind you that one of K Newton is exactly this, and so I get, if I'm writing derivation into this. Now, it could have gone wrong, for example, if I the number of fields was substantially different, or the cutoff turned out to be some other quantity. So I view it as a consistency check rather than derivation, which shows that this picture works, and you can repeat it in other spaces. And it works, for example, if you do it in a different dimensionality of ADS, you see that the factor of the number of Kaluza Klein moles in the cutoff work together to give you always this
answer. Sure. So, will it also work for the M-series file thing?
I haven't checked that, but my experience is that it works. So. But I don't know
because there is unusual scale in this.
We can check that. I need to remind myself what the metric is there and what is the scale. And I haven't tried it. I just convinced myself that it works in different dimensionalities of the ADS and so on.
Yeah, somehow you're assuming that the degeneracy is one per collective.
Again, this needs to be worked out. I assume if this argument is correct, then the degeneracy and the number of collective modes have to be such that they will give you G Newton. Now you can almost see it with your eyes because the G Newton is coming from an integral over the compact space. And so they are related. Now, whether the relation works every time, I don't know. But it's interesting. Okay, so I'm basically almost done. I've shown you the results. And as I said in the beginning, the property of this thermodynamics is that it's UV sensitive. And let me discuss the origin of the divergence. So the way I calculated it, the divergence came from the need to restrict my heat kernel integral away from the black hole. So you can imagine that it's something like a stretch horizon or a brick wall that you need to stay away from the horizon. But it's the same divergence exists also in plastics. It's essentially the divergence that you get when you evaluate an n-point function or two-point function in the coincidence limit. Okay? And you can see that because instead of calculating the entropy, you can calculate the specific heat, and you can see that it's exactly this divergence that is telling you, so you need to cut off this divergence, and you can reach same thing called virals or any other invariant regularization. Now, we do believe that this type of correlation function should give softer, if not finite, behavior in a theory that knows how to calculate, as string theory is supposed to. Of course, this is one of the outstanding challenges to spring theory calculus, let's say to graviton scattering amplitude with momentum transfer that's about in Planck. So this is the type of calculation that is necessary to do that. Alternatively, so either that or one needs to define some physical renormalization procedure that will somehow force this quantity to be found. And I have some ideas from that thing I'm working on. So compare this, for example, to the Hubble flow filter. But at this point, it's still an outstanding issue. Now, you can extend this construction. Part of it we're done, we have done, and part we're in the process of doing. So I mentioned rotating in Charles Laforgue, that's in the same paper we checked, and the calculation it behaves in the same way. This is understanding rotating in Charles Laforgue is important because we want to make a connection to the cases that are most explicitly calculable in string theory. These are extremal black holes. And in fact, Amos Jerome and Don Moreau succeeded recently, very recently, the paper has not been written, in actually doing the field theory side. So they have identified the state on the field, the entangled state on the field theory side in the DTZ black holes. And the, an additional application is issues related to the information paradox, singularity, etc. We've done some work on that. And as I said, the relationship to the geometric frame of calculating the entropy. And one problem that I find particularly interesting, there's usually we calculate the entropy geometrically using the Hilbert Hopping term. Now, if you have additional terms in the Lagrangian higher curvature, you need to use a generalization due to walls. And I think it would be an interesting problem to see how, and then you don't get area, you get some other geometric invariant. And if this picture is correct, you should get that other geometric invariant when you do the integument calculation. Okay. So that's one more thing. And now I'm ready to summarize. I think I'm on that, which is a nice achievement. So I presented a method of calculating the density matrix in a wedge of space-time. You remember the path integral using the imaginary time in the Hamiltonian. I applied this to theories that have field theory gravity duality and established that the dual of the global tidal Hopping vacuum is a thermofield level in the field theory. And therefore, that black hole entropy can be interpreted as a entanglement entropy in the vacuum. And I've discussed UV sensitivity. And I'll stop here. Thank you.
Are there any more questions for me?
Yes, sir.
I think you mentioned that you want to use this entanglement entropy by testing in particular vault approach.
Well, that would be one way to work.
How can you do that? Because in the, at least in the standard picture, okay, so the way I would guess that this would be translated into, say, some correct, it would be very simple. You don't have control about your cutoff, right?
Okay.
So there is a effect, the arbitrary constant C, right? That you can compute the entropy up to a constant C because you don't really know how to impose cutoff and reproduce the C numbers. And so what I'm trying to say is that if you start including at least in ABS backgrounds, high derivative correction. What then would change in your language is the C number. So since you cannot
not only see how okay. So the way it works, if you look at the heat kernel, when you evaluate the heat kernel, The term that I presented is the first term in the expansion in it, and it's a heap term where the operator is box or box plus n step. I have a link to that. So if you change when you have this higher order correction, the operator that you compute the heap term for is changing. Now, that calculation having it, you can expand it using covariant operators, and you did it way back. And you get this additional term. So that I can see that it is possible, that it might be possible to match.
But as a proportional to the area, this is not proportional to walls. That's what I'm saying.
There are logs, and there are other contributions. I think it's easier. I have Shanta's paper. I think to Shanta's paper somewhere.
I guess my question is very simple. If there are just linear and A correct, how you would be able to distinguish them since you don't know how to
normalize? No, you get the logs and you get other powers. You get all kinds of forms.
But we know from other approaches that the corrections, once you start including alpha prime corrections, and that there is a lot of consistency checks, that the leading correction is a term linear in the area.
Yes, that is true. That will remain. Unless you actually set it up such that that coefficient is zero.
Yeah, in ETS 5, process 5, the ones that you were talking about,
yes.
Then the leading term is proportional to zero.
Absolutely.
But I'm saying that since you do not determine the entropy with the C number coefficient, you can only,
yes,
how you can see this effect, because that will always could be hidden in your, you
know. No, the point is that in this work type direction, you don't get just area, you get other geometric environments.
And all multiplied by unknown coefficients, unknown neighboring coefficients, I would say. Area times C, which you can determine plus other times.
Okay, but what the same my interest at this point is just since the calculation that I've seen produces area. So I would like to see whether it is capable of producing something on additive. So I'm just interested in the geometrical form of the expansion. Then it might help, or it might introduce further problems in terms of fixing the overall scale. If there is one overall scale that you need to fix, then you might be able to use it to actually find that. So there'll be ratios that you can fix or something like that. But at the moment I don't even know whether that is possible. In fact, Wolf in this living review says that this is a problem for the entanglement interpretation, because he doesn't see how you can get something besides here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's my interest.
If there are no more questions, let's run again.
I thought when you said $1, you said it's,
I think we asked.
Well, no,